Good evening and welcome to another edition of Reporters on Table. It's coming to you live from VOA in Washington. I'm Douglas Simpoga. This evening we'll talk about Africa's criminal justice system, its successes and failures. And with us tonight is my colleague, Vincent Macori, Managing Editor, TV, English to Africa. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
You're very much welcome. And joining us also is regular panelist, Suleiman Mugula. He's joining us from Durban, South Africa. He is an independent political analyst. Gentlemen, once again, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
You're very much welcome. As I said, tonight we're looking at the criminal justice system in Africa. Why should African countries fail to make sure they have justice in their country, hold people accountable? At times they have had to appeal to international organizations like the International Criminal Court, which, on the other hand, they are blamed for targeting African countries, forgetting that at times it's the very people who call on ICC to come and take their cases. So, general terms, let me begin in Durban, this time, South Africa. How do you look at Africa's criminal justice system?
To begin with, before I go to the continent, much as the continent is very controversial as far as the justice system is concerned, there is, however, a brighter spot. And that brighter spot is at least in the Southern Africa, especially here in South Africa. South Africa, ever since the advent of, ever since the fall of apartheid, the new administration which was ushered in, President Mandela was very, 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 having been a lawyer himself, was very, very, very strict as far as the justice system was concerned. They set up a superb justice system, very independent and able to deliver justice to the people of South Africa. There is no body in South Africa who is above the law. There is no lengthy delays of delivering justice, although there might be some few cases here and there, but overall, anything criminal or financial, whatever justice will be required as far as South Africa is concerned, our criminal justice system here is very, very clear and is very, very strict, and it delivers in time. For example, you compare with other African countries during the coronavirus, when there was lockdown, there were some excesses which were carried on by the security forces. Those security forces were arrested. Those security forces were put before the courts of law. Even in other cases, for example, during the xenophobia issues, we have had cases where the security forces have operated beyond the call of the law. Even those ones have not been excused, though it involves foreigners, but these people, once identified, they are taken before the courts of the law, and the courts of law really give them justice which anybody could have received, regardless of the fact that they had committed crimes against people who are foreigners in the very country. So as far as South Africa is concerned, really, we have to credit it. And also, I think it streams through to some other Southern African countries like Botswana, like Lesotho. Fairly, there is a fair criminal justice system. But when you cross the Limpopo and go into Africa, I think there it is a different story. When you look at countries like DRC, countries like Ethiopia, countries like Uganda, countries like Rwanda, Burundi, Chad, Cameroon, I think there we have got a very big problem. That is why they have remained restless, even if the leaders have remained in power for so many years.
Vincent, general terms?
Yeah, just total agreement with the Amhula there that, yes, we see certain, pockets of countries where the justice system is functioning. We have seen in South Africa, of course, even the president of the country, former president now, being taken to task and being taken to court. But across the continent, the bigger chunk of the continent, we have a lack of a justice system that serves the citizens of the country. We have noticed that the court system, the justice system, seems to be almost designed for the poor of society, the chicken thief and the banana thief in the marketplace. But when it comes to holding the powerful people accountable, when it comes to trying, for example, cases of, killings, especially during political upheavals, or perhaps rebel groups and government officials who participated even in murders and massacres or high-level corruption cases, they don't seem to manage those cases. The courts can jail small-time thieves. They can jail, the poor any day, every day that people go into prison. But we never see the justice system in the continent of Africa, in many of the countries, really trying successfully cases that really matter. You know, cases that that touch on issues that have had such an impact on whole countries, on whole regions. So because of that, many, many people don't have faith in the justice system, in the judicial systems in these countries.
There are those who have pointed out, gentlemen, that what makes people lose faith in the justice system in most African countries is that because those in power, majority of whom are dictatorial guys, tend to fuse the judiciary into under their armpit, because now they appoint the judges, they are political judges. In some countries, they call them kada judges. So it's what the leader wants that is carried out, and what he doesn't want, even if there is a scandal, it can just be swept under the carpet. Beginning with you, Suleiman, what do you think?
You are right, Douglas. Our justice system in Africa and the rest of Africa is a reflection of the type of administrations that we have across the country. Because our administration, our political administration have failed totally, then accordingly, even the justice system has failed together with them. As you have put it, after the particular leader has decided to become autocratic, the first nail is nailed into the various branches of governance, which are supposed to be independent, the parliament, the judiciary. They are crippled and they are put under the arm of the executive. So once they lose their independence, once they lose their ability to act independently, then definitely everything goes berserk. As you realize, all over the continent, you'll find that the justice system has not been able to adjudicate between in the corruption cases, because most of these high corruption cases, it is the politicians, and these politicians are connected to the executive. Once they are connected, no case can be tried. As Vincent has said, instead it is the chicken thieves who are not connected who are tried. Secondly, even the political cases, many elections end when there is disagreement of who is the winner, of what systems have been used. Many have been they have tried to challenge them, but apart from Malawi and Kenya, there is no justice system which has been able to adjudicate and give a fair decision in favor of the people, whereas there are glaring issues of interference by the executive, glaring issues where you can see that the elections were really rigged. They were done in favor of the incumbent. But there is no justice system which has been able to put a stop to it. That is why you find the continent is still continuing in that autocratic leadership across the board. So as Vincent has said, this justice system is a reflection of our failed system in the governance system on the continent.
Vincent, you agree to that?
Yes, I mean, look, when you even in those countries where there has been some success in you know, having an independent judiciary, say in Kenya, for example, we saw the frustration by politicians when the Supreme Court made a ruling on the elections, and that came because the Kenyan Constitution now has given the you know the powers to the judicial system as another arm of government that even the executive cannot do much about. But when the then Justice, Chief Justice ruled that the election had been fraudulent and therefore had the results had to be annulled, the current president, Uhuru Kenyatta, was so livid. He actually threatened the Chief Justice. He even openly, publicly said, once we come back to power, we will fix the judiciary. We will deal with him. And for the entire time that the Chief Justice was there before he retired, he went through so much frustration. They would deny him funding for the judiciary. They would deny him certain you know certain things that he needed in order to run that sector, that department as effectively as possible. Now, had the Constitution given a loophole to the president, Uhuru Kenyatta, be sure he would have fired the Chief Justice. He would probably have had some few people jailed. So what does that tell you? Many African leaders are not willing to have a free and fair justice system because it will target them. As long as the courts can be dealing with those small-time cases on the periphery that don't involve their, you know, politicians at the high level, corruption cases, or even you know, in, issues of serious human rights violations, then everything is okay. And that is what we're seeing across the continent. The judiciary is set up to protect the elite, is set up to protect the executive and his friends and cronies, and that's why most African citizens don't really have faith in the justice system because it doesn't it doesn't really help to advance justice for the common people, but instead it's seen as an enemy of the people themselves, because they're the only ones who get to face these court systems. They're the only ones who go to prison, and many times not because they're terrible criminals, but because they're poor, they cannot get good lawyers, and nobody knows them in the system, so they go to prison. So they see it as a system that serves only to oppress the citizenry rather than to enforce the law of the land and give justice to everybody.
I see. Now, for those of you just joining us, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. Tonight, we're looking at Africa's criminal justice system. Our panelists are my colleague, Vincent Makori, managing editor TV English to Africa, and Suleiman Mgula, an independent political analyst, and I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, here in Washington. Now, gentlemen, what does it say about Africa, or what's your view of the fact that African leaders or some criminals in Africa have to be tried out of the continent? For instance, at the International Criminal Court, we have had ex-presidents there, we have had rebel leaders taken there. Which cases could have even been handled in the continent if there had been a fair justice system? What's your take, and what does this say about Africa? Let me begin with Suleiman again.
Douglas, by the African countries surrendering their own citizens to the international court already is an indictment to our criminal justice system. Already it shows that we are not independent and we cannot act on our own. So much that if you wanted any to be believed somehow, if you wanted any credence, any iota of credence, then you prefer to take the case out to the international court. Otherwise, that one shows you how much our criminal justice system has gone down. As Vincent was saying, you will observe that across the board, most of these African countries, they have criminalized political opposition. Every opposition is criminalized. Opposing a government means you are an enemy of the government. Because the executive, because the incumbent have taken it like that, then the criminal justice system lacks the bones. It lacks the strength. It lacks the independence to make a breakthrough and try to oppose the executive. So you will find that, for example, if you are to be an opposition leader in Tanzania, you will go to the courts. If you are to be, like now, the case which is happening, the genocide case which is happening in Rwanda, Gbagbo in Ivory Coast, all you'll even the ones in Uganda with the labor leaders who are in the International Court of Justice, all these cases, they cannot be tried because it will be clear that the people who are involved will not be able to get justice. That is why the Rwanda one, they want their choose is insisting that he would rather be taken to France than being tried to Rwanda, because already it is a clear case. If he's tried in Rwanda, then he's guilty. The same would have happened if Gbagbo was to be tried in Ivory Coast by the current incumbent. You would also feel that he cannot get the justice which he requires. But there is an example in Africa to show you that if we are to go forward, if we are to develop in Africa, we need an independent criminal justice system. For example, in South Africa, as Vincent noted, the former president, Jacob Zuma, who is under commission in the investigation. What have these investigations produced? The whole country appreciates through the investigation that the former president with his cartel, they were almost looting the country dry. They were almost bringing the country to its knees. Therefore, there is almost an agreement in the country that those people who are involved in those corruption should be taken before the justice system. So if you don't have a credible justice system, then you wouldn't be willing to take those people there. But that one goes out of the way to show you that really a very credible justice system is needed as a prerequisite for a country's development.
I see. Vincent, what's your take on Africans having to surrender to international courts or to seek justice?
Yes. First, you have to remember that actually Africa is the region with the most members at the International Criminal Court, for example. The reason why many Africans jumped onto the bandwagon of the ICC, starting with Senegal in 1999, was because they felt, the African countries felt that, cases like those of the genocide of Rwanda would be tried in a more fair way at the International Criminal Court. And, of course, they wanted the UN to be involved, having been part of, those who failed at Rwanda. But over the years, we've noticed that as Africans have displayed that distrust in their own systems by actually preferring to go to an international criminal court system, ICC. We saw that in Kenya. During the issues of the 2007 clashes came out, and of course some key people are accused, including the current president and deputy president, the two of them were actually the ones who wanted to be taken to the ICC than to be tried in Kenya. The then President Mwai Kibaki and the Prime Minister Raila Odinga were in favor of having this handled at home. But they say they don't have trust in the justice system, the criminal justice system in Kenya, so they would rather go to an international criminal court, although later on they politicized it and made it look like the Raila Odinga who had thrown them under the bus and sent them to the ICC. But what we see is that African countries signed on to this because those who are in the system, the politicians who are ruling these countries, never thought that these courts would be turning to them, that will be coming to haunt them individual as presidents of their countries or when they leave power. But they saw this as a they themselves saw this as a place where they can try, they can send people who have been accused of committing a serious crime, and at the same time, those who had been accused, because they could not trust the system at home, they would rather be tried by the ICC. So in every way you look at this, this is an indictment, as Suleiman says, of the continent of Africa. It shows the continent has not allowed itself to grow up, have institutions that can handle their own issues. There's no day an American is going to be tried in Kenya. There's no day an American is going to be taken to the ICC, because the Americans will tell you, we have a system that works. If somebody has committed a crime, either here or abroad, we can try him, and they have faith in the system. And in the American system, as an example, for example, there are people in prison who are governors, senators, very powerful business people, very famous actors. The system does not care who you are, because there's independence, and when you commit a crime, nobody can protect you. The court system will work its way through, and if you're found guilty, you go to prison, regardless of who you are, whether you are very close to the president or you are, you know, the most powerful and famous person in this country. There is nowhere in Africa, we're seeing that good model in South Africa, but in most African countries, there's nowhere where we can have hope of seeing justice, especially when it involves high-level criminal cases.
I see. As we wind down our program, I'll throw this one to both of you. Why, for instance, can Africa as a continent form its own credible, fair court, criminal justice system, or have a court, an African court that can try these people instead of shipping them abroad? I'll begin with you, Suleiman.
You see, that it goes to the main question which we have been asking ourselves as Africans, that why, to begin with, that most of the institutions that we have established, have they succeeded? You find that even the regional organization which we set up with good intentions, they have failed. Even the African Union itself, to a large extent, it has failed. You have got a continent which is highly indebted, which has got corruption, which has got a listless youth who have got no direction, who are hopeless. You have got a country which has got so many political upheavals, left to right, everywhere. So if you were to create such a system, you should create it from stable countries themselves, from democratic countries themselves, with the countries and leaders who have got a vision for success. But if you have got rusty leaders who don't have any direction, if you have got justice systems which have been politicized, if you have got judges who are members of political parties, like countries in Uganda, like in countries in Rwanda, who profess themselves or who one time were members of political parties and they are working in favor of particular political parties, where will you even get judges to be involved in that justice system which is for the continent? So you need, first of all, to put the African continent houses in order before you can think of a united stand as far as their system is concerned.
Vincent, what's your take on maybe AU forming a very strong, credible, and fair just system?
You know, AU, in as much as it's a symbol of African, you know, collaboration of, you know, these African countries, it remains a very weak institution. And the reason why is because of the composition of the leaders. When you look at the organization, the people who come together as members, as leaders of the African countries, are a mix of, you know, corrupt leaders, ruthless people who have stayed in power for 30 plus years. They themselves have committed, you know, human rights violations, even killed people over the years. And you know, when you look at the whole question of justice, if you were to have a court system that really is strong and independent, so many of these political leaders would actually be candidates for that court. Now, will they willingly form an independent, strong court? Who will they appoint as judges? Will they put judges who could actually go for them, either when they're in power or when they leave leave power? Because some of them are not stupid. They understand that once they get out of power, and that's why some don't want to leave power, when they get out of power and the immunity, you know, is stripped off, they could be charged for, you know, human rights violations, crimes against humanity, because they have committed. There are quite a number who have committed this thing. Or could it be massive, you know, corruption cases or other forms of injustices? How can they possibly form a court system? Who will it serve? So they are happy to have things as they are, and that is why they are always excited to send one of their citizens to the ICC or any other place, as long as it's not them, as long as this ICC will not come to haunt them. And we've seen in the countries where the ICC has come now to touch people closer to the power, power establishment, those countries have started saying, no, we don't want the ICC. ICC is targeting Africans. ICC only targets Africans when it is touching on the elites who are in power, those who are in control. Then they don't like the ICC. ICC is good as long as it's targeting their enemies, as long as it's targeting the people who have nothing to do with their system. So I don't see African leaders having an appetite, a desire whatsoever of forming a strong, independent court system. No way.
Douglas.
Yes.
East Africa has got one, but a lot of political crimes have been committed around East Africa. For example, in Uganda, there have been political crimes. The regime in Uganda has killed people broad daylight. It has bragged. It has incarcerated people unfairly. So many economic crimes. The people in Uganda have tried so many times to place cases in the East African court, but have they received justice? By the fact that trial of East African court has failed, then even a continental court cannot succeed at all. For example, the recent political issues which have been in Uganda, the people in Uganda have tried as many times. They have placed cases there, but there is no justice which has been got from there. Therefore, I don't think that even a continental one would do better than if we look at what has happened even in East Africa as a trial.
I see. Well, that you may be correct, because recently African leaders protected Omar al-Bashir of Sudan, who had been indicted by the ICC, and they did so. They succeeded in protecting him for many years.
Exactly. So that tells you a lot about the approach to some of these important issues by African leaders. Many of them suffer that lack of not only credibility, but legitimacy. Mm. Many of them are complicit in crimes, crimes against humanity, in high-level, you know, financial crimes. Yes. So they they are the same fellows who sit around the table as leaders of the continent. None of them is willing to put themselves in a situation where they could be taken to task over what they've done. And none of them would like to be the one to help push one of theirs into the, you know, a justice system. So it's a small club, it's a club or a big club, a continental club of men and women who are deep to the neck in so many of these ills that bedevil the continent of Africa, that they would never want to set up anything that can demand justice on behalf of the citizens of Africa.
Interesting. Unfortunately, we're out of time. That ends this edition of Reporters Roundtable. Thanks to my colleague, Vincent Makori, Managing Editor at TV English to Africa, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in Durban, South Africa. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Once again, thanks for tuning in. Until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Impoga, wishing you all the best.